Welcome to the FTS BetSlip Podcast Mindset Series. The aim of these episodes of the FTS BetSlip Podcast is to build up a library of sound mindset advice that you can access anywhere and use to help you on your betting and trading journey. If you are new to this Mindset Series of podcasts, then please make sure you go back and catch up on any previous episodes that you may have missed. Each podcast will also have a written blog version to go alongside it. That is on our website, ftsincome.co.uk. And some of the episodes will also have an accompanying YouTube video on the FTS Income channel. So please make sure you're subscribed to that so that you don't miss any of the informative videos. Good luck, and I hope to take you on a profitable journey with your betting and trading activities. One thing, if you do enjoy these podcasts, please consider leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. Hello. In this episode, I want to look a little bit more into the subject of variance and the actual concept of variance and theory against the reality. We've talked already in several episodes about money involvement, staking, discipline, how to calculate losing runs, but ultimately we will all be subject at some time to variance in our gambling, and it is how we deal with that. And unfortunately, the theory gets far away from the reality. This episode, I had it in the plans anyway, but it's kind of been fast-tracked. I'm going to give you three real-life examples from just this last week of dealing with FTS punters. And I deal with FTS punters day in, day out. You know, emails all the time. Can you check this system? Am I doing this right? What do you think of that? This has happened to me. What would you do? What should I do? I get this all the time. And I'm going to give you three specific scenarios, all that relate to where reality gets completely away from theory. So when we have a theory, we can sit there and I can say to people, build a system like this, make it bomb-proof with the staking by going four times. This is it. It's won 250 points over 4 years. If you'd been able to recreate that and do it, this is where it can head to. And you've put that bank in place, and this is what you're going to stake, and this is how you're going to grow your stakes. I can do all that. You could give that then to somebody who is a sort of theoretical mathematician into this stuff, and he would look at it in the big picture, and they tend to pull out every result ever and almost try and find a negative in it. And I find that that's what they do. So, you know, you'll see things like, if you backed every favourite in football, this is what it is and you can't win. Well, we know that, but nobody is backing every favourite in football. You're not backing every underdog in football. It's just not happening. That is just pure theory that is never, ever going to be realised. And I think a lot of the stuff that's written on the topic, unfortunately, is based in that. And basically what my belief is, there's a selection of fixtures, and I think people far cleverer than me are capable of picking out games from those fixtures that enable them to make a profit when you string them all together. That is my true belief. I've proven that I can do it, and I think there's lots of other people who could do it. The reality of betting and the variance involved, though, gets away from you. So I'm going to give you these three examples. So the first one is FTS member betting profitably, found a method that works for them. It's time heavy, as it involves them to sit there. So obviously on a Saturday, Sunday, it's busy. So they're sat there trading. It's a trading method. So there's an entry, set entry, there's a set exit. Everything about it is good, other than for me, maybe the time element. Would I want to sit there all day, you know, 12, 13 hours a day? Probably certainly not. Going along nicely. And then they hit a weekend where they lost 15 to 20 points. So I don't know the exact number. 15 to 20 points over a weekend. Nothing went right. And this is back in, I'm going to say September. And they sent me a WhatsApp after this happened, basically saying, disaster. You know, the world's ending, need to have a think about this, blah, 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 blah. Had a chat, you know, explain that this can happen. You know, what, there's nothing I can say. This, anything can happen, and this can happen, and you need to be set up for it, not just financially but mentally. Don't like it. What I'm going to do is I am going to implement a stop loss. So they set themselves a basically a stop loss of I'm only going to allow myself to lose X points on a day. And I said, well, that's fine. What about the winning end? And they came up with a sort of thing where they were either going to win 4 points or lose 4 points, and hope they'd win in more winning days than losers. Absolutely fine. If that's what works for you, off you go and do it. So they did go off and do that, and they won. They won about 11, 12 points through from that period of the bad one through to an exact calendar month. They then went back. I don't know whether foolishly or not foolishly, they then went back and went through the results if they hadn't implemented the stop loss, if they had just carried on doing what they were doing. And they won about 11, 12 points. They would have won 30-odd points the old way. So they've suffered that big loss. It's mentally affected them. They've changed what they do. They've still gone on and implemented a new system and won. And then they've gone back and checked, what if I'd done it the old way? And they would have won more. And what have they done now? They've gone back to what they were doing before. So we've sort of had this 4 month, 4 week, 5 week hiatus where they've done something completely different and then gone back. And I've sort of, you know, you can't keep chopping and changing to, but what are you going to do now if you lose 15, 20 points? And basically they have said, I've just got to lump it and accept that it can happen. And I believe that is right. So that's scenario one. Scenario two is a guy who I really like, really respect. And I've told him that. I've had many Zooms with him who bets over 1.5 goals, and he bet over 1.5 goals or trades them on Saturday and lost 2 points. And then on Sunday, he was trading, and I haven't got it in front of me, so I'm just kind of recalling what I read. And he got himself in a situation where he was in a game, it was 0-0. The first goal came and he could exit for like a really minuscule loss, like 0.2 loss, or he could let the game run. And he exited for the loss, for this tiny little loss. And of course, the game went on to win. So he's then sort of asked, have I done the right thing? Or have I shit my pants? I said, of course you've shit your pants. Of course you have. Firstly, we're worried about a 4 point loss, 3-4 point loss in a weekend. If you think that's not going to happen, you're mental. And you just let two losses on the Saturday. Basically, he didn't want to have a 3 or 4 point losing weekend. He's just let the two losses that he's had on Saturday affect the future game. And he's changed what he would normally have done. If he hadn't had the two losses, he lets the second game run and he gets the full win. So there's that one. And then the third one is people who have sort of got, they've got a set limited bank, if you like, and it's kind of ducked and dived, and they've done different things. We're going to do this, and then we're going to do it that way, going to do that way. And then they settled on a setup. And unfortunately, one of those is laying over 3.5 goals. And as I've said in my YouTube video that I've done on this subject, goals are up. So it's taken a bit of a beating or stood still. If you look at the picture overall, they've won on it, but it hasn't been great over the last. So then they start doubting what they're doing. What am I doing? Should we do this differently? This, that, and the other. All of this comes under the topic of variance, because it is just you're dealing with the variance of betting. But none of it comes under theory. It all comes under the reality. All these situations are emotional intelligence as opposed to any theoretical intelligence. You can sit there and write all the books you like until, you know, one of the reasons why I'm good at advising people is because I'm always punting. I'm not just writing books and I or producing papers on it and I haven't got any skin in the game. I've gone through £20,000 winning weekends. I've gone through £20,000 losing weeks, whatever it may be. And you're living that, and all the time it's learning something. I think one of the things that is true in people is we tend to feel the pain of loss, that we focus more on losing runs than we do winners. Yeah, we love winning and we enjoy it, and we might give a high five, yeah, get in there. But when we're on a bad run, we take it a lot more personally. We let it get right into our psyche and affect us. And I think you know, if you, the word I've used is scarring. If you keep scarring yourself like that over a period of time, it affects your decision making. So on the one and a half, for example, it was just purely the scarring of Saturday affected what he did on Sunday. Rather than getting up in the morning, I'm going to do the same again. So where's all that go? And it all comes down to you've got to only do what suits you, and you've got to try and plan that out ahead. So it's not just having the money. It's pointless saying I've got a 200 point bank. I've had an email this morning, somebody, I've got a 200 point bank. It's down to whatever, 120 points again, over 3.5s. What should I do? And I get these all the time. You know, I'm not just saying that. We get them all the time. They come in. What should we do with this situation? What should we do in that situation? The issue is not just financially, we've got to be prepared for it. It is how do we prepare ourselves mentally to do it. And it's going through these things. You know, one of those groups said to me, the good thing is that they've been through it, so they learn more about themselves. And I think that's right. You know, I've said many times, I don't know what any individual person is. I know what I'm like. I know how I react. I know what I do when I'm on a good run. I know what I do when I'm on a bad run. And as I've stated many times, I'm fairly level. Very often, people don't know whether I've won or lost. No one, Sam never knows whether I've won or lost. Don't know whether I've won or lost. I had a terrible Saturday about 3 weeks ago. And then got it all back through the week, Sunday there. Didn't do anything different, but just the results on Saturday, and that's it. It's one day, the results fall that way. And then it settled down. But you've got to set yourself up. You've got to have a sort of self-awareness of yourself before you put a bet on. And I think this is the problem with people. Ultimately, people rush in because all they're doing is driven by the money. You've got to be self-aware of what will you be like if X happens, and both ways, if X happens winning and if X happens losing, what will you do? What will your behavior be like? Once you know that, once you've started to work on that, then you can manage it. And you can say, well, I don't know it till it comes ahead. Then I would say to you, right, trade on really small stakes and get used to it and get used to see it. Don't dive in with £50 and £100 and that if it's going to affect you. Trade with really small stakes, get used to that process, and decide the bits of your betting trading life that you really like, and bin the bits that you don't like through that testing process. You know, we spend far too much time involved in what other people do, and worrying about their results and what they're trading and how did they do that, rather than looking at ourselves. What am I doing? Why am I doing it? How am I going to react? And what's it like? And there is a massive different skill between the theory and the reality of how you will react. And I use golf analogies. I'm going to give you a golf analogy because I think it is really fitting. I'm a good golfer. I was a really good golfer 20, 25 years ago. You know, people say that I was a really, really good golfer. I was in the top 20 amateurs in the country in the late 90s. I was absolutely fantastic at the game. Sorry, late 80s. God, I'm forgetting how old I am. I was born in the 70s when I was sort of 18, 19, 20, around that period. Really good, lots of potential, didn't have any money behind me. And once you've got the foundation of playing good golf, you tend to like keep it forward. So I can still hit the ball now at 50 odd, reasonably well, but you lose that craft of scoring. So when I was in my sort of 20s to 30s, as my game started to deteriorate because I wasn't putting the work in, I go on a range and I see people, young lads in their 18, 19s, 20s, you know, hitting the ball, and they'd be on the range and there's a 150 marker out there and there's a 175 yard marker out there, and they'd stand there, they've got clubs on the ground, and they're working on this picture perfect golf swing. They've got the video technology, they've got the books, they've got everything working on the theory. Let's get this perfect golf swing. We're hitting the same shot every time, perfect marker. They're hitting 8 9s, 7 8 9 irons at these 150s, 175 markers, getting a nice cluster of balls around them, and they're working that. And then I'd say to them, do you want to play 9 holes? And I did this quite a lot, and I'd go up the first. We both smash a drive up there. Now we've got 160 to a pin cut on the right hand side over a bunker, perhaps pitching on a downslope. And all of a sudden they'd fire it right at the flag, or they'd fire. Because it's there's a difference between having a lovely golf swing on a driving range, that's the theory, and actually being able to play golf. And what I was good at was playing golf. And you look at good golfers, the Tiger Woods, the people like that, it wasn't that they shot 66 all the time. It was the fact that when their game wasn't quite on, when they weren't playing to their full, and go back to the US Open he won basically on one leg against Rocco Mediate. It's that he didn't play himself out of a tournament. He didn't go and shoot 78 and get himself out of it. He had the nous to get the ball around the golf course, to know what he could do when it wasn't going well, hit the ball in the right place, rather than go for flags, hit it in the middle of the green and two putt. And that's the difference. There's a theory of hitting a golf ball and swinging a golf club. Then there's actually moving from the driving range to a golf course and being able to play golf. I could play golf. I didn't have a technically perfect Nick Faldo-like swing, but I could hit different shots. If I'm into the wind, I could keep the ball down. I could draw it right to left. I could fade it left to right. I could do what was needed to get the ball around the golf course, even if I wasn't striking it great. And that to me is very similar to the theory of punting. We can all get spreadsheets and books and whatever and get all the maths and everything behind us, but ultimately sometime we've got to step onto the course and trade and gamble. And how are we going to react in that situation? If it's going to get you down, if it's going to depress you, then you've got to change what you do. And it will be completely individual to you. That is what is going to happen. It will be completely individual to you, and what anyone else does doesn't matter at all. And ultimately, you've got to decide if you're going to do this and think of making a success of it. You've got to decide on what you're going to do. You've got to have your money set up correctly, and we've talked about staking, and we will do some more on it. But you've got to ultimately have the commitment to that, and then see it through, and you will have. Without doubt, no matter what your setup is, you will have some issues that variance will kick you in the nuts. It is absolutely impossible. It's impossible to avoid. And unfortunately, what people suddenly think is, well, I've had a bad weekend, I've got to change what I do, or the system's falling. I've explained why goals are up at the moment, and I firmly don't believe that they'll stay there. I firmly don't believe that all these leagues will average over three goals, and they're already from the highs of week four and five, things are starting to come down a bit. And I don't do that. But you've got to trade, bet what suits your style. It will take you some time, maybe, to find that out. So you need to do it to smaller stakes. You need to get it in line. Go back to the first couple of episodes of this series in your expectations. What do you really expect, and is that actually likely, or are your expectations way off where they should be? And all the while you're doing that, you small test stakes. As I said to the guys at the weekend, the data's not going anywhere, I'm not going anywhere, and variance certainly isn't going anywhere. So it will take a little bit of time to work all that, but it's going to be there, and you have to do it. But it is having that self-awareness of what affects you. You've almost got a picture in my head, right? If I do this, but if I've got a 100-point bank, but if I lose 25% of it, I'm going to shit the bed. You need to solve that. I can't solve it for you. You need to solve that either mentally, or you need to have a bigger bank, and you need to get that bank to a stage where this, if this happens, I'm not going to shit the bed. Pardon the phrase. I don't know what that is, because it'll be different for different people. But you've got to go through and set that situation up, and all the things. Understand the markets you're in. Understand the likelihood of what you're trading, how it will play out. Stopping after 2 point loss, trading 1.5s. Really, really. I mean, he's come back and said, "I made a mistake," and that's fine. But you've got to identify that and not make it affect your actual trading. If we use the golf analogy, when you step on the course, when you step on to trade, you've got to be 100%. I know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to execute it and do it. And unfortunately, people don't, and that emotional sort of intelligence that they tend to lack. And I don't think that being clever is what you need for this. I think you need to be savvy. And I was exactly the same at golf. I just said you need to be a bit of a street fighter. Have a will to win, and know how to get the ball around the golf course. And I'm very slimmer in my trading. You need to know what you're doing, have a will to win and have the nous to navigate trading scenarios, even when it's going wrongly for you. And I think, you know, a lot of it is that rush to make money. And one of the things I may be guilty of is sort of making it look to people that you can wring money really quickly. But I have said on numerous times, you've got to look at it as a sort of 3 to 5 year journey. And part of that is setting yourself up to handle these scenarios, not when that scenario comes, oh, shit in it, panic and change everything you do. Because now you're back to the drawing board. Now you're back to stage one. So the first example, they gave up 20 points by having a panic attack, basically having a panic attack, changing what they do, giving up 20 points. And now they've gone back to miss the wins. And now they've gone back to what they're doing before. You know, another bad day will probably be around the corner somewhere. So what are you going to do in that scenario? Like, all I can say, they say, I won't do it again. Okay. But let's see what it is. And I hope they don't. But it is that same scenario all the time. You know, and ultimately, if you build something that doesn't suit you, you're not going to make it work. It is as simple as that. If you're sitting trying to implement stuff that just doesn't suit your mentality and how you react to things, it is very, very unlikely that it'll work. And as I say, what other people do, it's a bit like now when I step on a golf course at 50 and I'll step up with a lad who's 25 and he hits it 30 yards past me. Now, my days of hitting it 30, 40 yards, people are gone because I'm that much older. But I don't stand there and go, Christ almighty, he's hit that long way. What am I going to do? I just play my own game. I focus on what I can do, what I'm good at, and move the ball around the golf course in a way that I know and that I'm good at. What he does doesn't matter. If I play my game, he's going to really struggle to beat me. So I've just got to focus on what I do. And that's how you've got to be in your trading. You've got to do, you know, we will all do it differently. Even with the same information, we will all do things differently. You've really got to get all these aspects coming together. And that's what we're talking about. All the aspects that we're talking about coming together, because there will be days when variance kicks you in the nuts. And theoretical variance, what we can see on a spreadsheet, actually means nothing if in reality we're going to react completely differently. So if we see a losing run of 25 and we build a bank and go, right, 3 times 75, but the next losing run is 37, but when we get to 15 we're starting to panic, then what all we've done on the paperwork is irrelevant. All we've sat there and built doesn't mean anything, because we aren't equipped to deal with it and handle it. So, you know, I think you can't sort of underestimate, it's not about being really clever, it's about knowing yourself, knowing what makes you react. Chopping and changing will never ever work. It is as simple as that. If you keep chopping and changing and don't have some form of persistence and perseverance through bad times as well as the good times, you are really going to struggle, almost to the extent I'd say you've got zero chance. That's what I would honestly say to people. But in that, all this is about, before we put, you know, again, before I step on a golf course, I know what I'm going to do. Before we put a bet on, we should know what we do, and we need to listen to far less people, read far less books, and understand more about each other. I read a lot of these books and I just go, frankly, yeah, it's okay, but it's nonsense. It's not going to help me. What's going to help me is understanding myself, understanding how I want to bet. And I've changed how I bet, you know, over the 15, 16 years, is it coming up now? Maybe 17 years next year. I've changed that over the time, from taking on big prices to betting big horses to stuff now that has a lot less up and downs, a lot less swings, either way. But ultimately, if I'm going to panic over something that's losing 10 points in a month or that, and completely change what I'm going to do, I've got next to no chance. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with starting with small test stakes and finding that out about yourself. Because once you've been through that and you go, right, now I know, that's when you can just start to build your stakes up. Your mentality builds up with that process and over time. And it's still a lot different. Losing bets at £200, £300, £400 stakes is a lot different to losing them at tenners. Mentally, the maths, the reality, the theory behind it, nothing, but the reality of it, sorry, the theory behind it is the same, but the reality of it is completely different. Putting your head on the bed when you've lost 3 points at 10 or 30 quid to when you've lost 3 points at 300 quid, 900 quid is a lot different. And that's what you've got to be able to do. You've got to be able to put your head on the pillow at night and go, I'm happy with what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. Nobody else matters. And I'm going to chug through. And, you know, we will help you with that process. But nobody is you. It doesn't matter who it is that you go to. Nobody is you. You've got to be able to do it yourself. So I want to get that one out. I think it's quite important. And look at your setup. Look at what you do. Look at the things that might trigger you or affect you. And start to make those changes to improve it. And I'll be back with another one shortly.